"My family," Ashiel announced proudly, passing each of the little kids into the hall. "You take good care of my children." "Even Poke," he called his child. If she noticed the humiliation of it, though, she didn't show it. All she cared about was the miracle of getting into the soup kitchen. The plan had worked. And whether she thought of it as her plan or Bean's didn't matter to Bean in the least, at least not till he had the first soup in his mouth. He drank it as slowly as he could, but it was still gone so fast that he could hardly believe it. Was this all? And how had he managed to spill so much of the precious stuff on his shirt? Quickly, he stuffed his bread inside his clothing and headed for the door. Stashing the bread and leaving, that was Ashiel's idea, and it was a good one. Some of the bullies inside the kitchen were bound to plan retribution. The sight of little kids eating would be galling to them. They'd get used to it soon enough, Ashiel promised, but this first day it was important that all the little kids get out while the bullies were still eating. When Bean got to the door, the line was still coming in, and Ashiel stood by the door, chatting with a woman about the tragic accident there in the line. Paramedics must have been summoned to carry the injured boy away. He was no longer groaning in the street. "It could have been one of the little kids," he said. "We need a policeman out here to watch the traffic. That driver would never have been so careless if there was a cop here." The woman agreed.
"It could have been awful. They said half his ribs were broken and his lung was punctured."
She looked mournful, her hands fretting. "This line forms up when it's still dark. It's dangerous. Can't we have a light out here?" "I've got my children to think about," said Ashiel. "Don't you want my little kids to be safe? Or am I the only one who cares about them?" The woman murmured something about money and how the soup kitchen didn't have much of a budget. Poke was counting children at the door while Sergeant ushered them out into the street. Bean, seeing that Ashiel was trying to get the adults to protect them in line, decided the time was right for him to be useful. Because this woman was compassionate and Bean was by far the smallest child, he knew he had the most power over her. He came up to her, tugged on her woolen skirt.
"Thank you for watching over us," he said. "It's the first time I ever got into a real kitchen. Papa Ashiel told us that you would keep us safe so we little ones could eat here every day." "Oh, you poor thing. Oh, look at you."
Tears streamed down the woman's face.
Oh, you poor darling."
She embraced him. Ashiel looked on, beaming. "I got to watch out for them," he said quietly. "I got to keep them safe." Then he led his family, it was no longer in any sense Poke's crew, away from Helga's kitchen, all marching in a line, till they rounded the corner of a building and then they ran like hell, joining hands and putting as much distance between them and Helga's kitchen as they could. For the rest of the day they were going to have to lie low. In twos and threes the bullies would be looking for them. But they could lie low, because they didn't need to forage for food today. The soup already gave them more calories than they normally got, and they had the bread. Of course, the first tax on that bread belonged to Ashiel, who had eaten no soup. Each child reverently offered his bread to their new papa, and he took a bite from each one and slowly chewed it and swallowed it before reaching for the next offered bread. It was quite a lengthy ritual. Ashiel took a mouthful of every piece of bread except two, Poke's and Bean's.
"Thanks," said Poke.
She was so stupid, she thought it was a gesture of respect. Bean knew better. By not eating their bread, Ashiel was putting them outside the family. "We are dead," thought Bean. That's why Bean hung back, why he held his tongue and remained unobtrusive during the next few weeks. That was also why he endeavored never to be alone. Always he was within arm's reach of one of the other kids. But he didn't linger near Poke. That was a picture he didn't want to get locked in anyone's memory, him tagging along with Poke. From the second morning, Helga's soup kitchen had an adult outside watching, and a new light fixture on the third day. By the end of a week, the adult guardian was a cop. Even so, Ashiel never brought his group out of hiding until the adult was there, and then he would march the whole family right to the front of the line and loudly thank the bully in first position for helping him look out for his children by saving them a place in line. It was hard on all of them, though, seeing how the bullies looked at them. They had to be on their best behavior while the doorkeeper was watching, but murder was on their minds. And it didn't get better. The bullies didn't get used to it, despite Ashiel's bland assurances that they would. So even though Bean was determined to be unobtrusive, he knew that something had to be done to turn the bullies away from their hatred, and Ashiel, who thought the war was over and victory achieved, wasn't going to do it. So as Bean took his place in line one morning, he deliberately hung back to be last of the family. Usually Polk brought up the rear. It was her way of trying to pretend that she was somehow involved in ushering the little ones in. But this time Bean deliberately got in place behind her, with the hate-filled stare of the bully who should have had first position burning on his head. Right at the door, where the woman was standing with Ashiel, both of them looking proud of his family, Bean turned to face the bully behind him and asked, in his loudest voice, "Where's your children? How come you don't bring your children to the kitchen?" The bully would have snarled something vicious, but the woman at the door was watching with raised eyebrows. "You look after little children, too?" she asked. It was obvious she was delighted about the idea and wanted the answer to be yes. And stupid as this bully was, he knew that it was good to please adults who gave out food. So he said, "Of course I do."
"Well, you can bring them, you know, just like Papa Ashiel here. We are always glad to see the little children."
Again, Bean piped up.
"They let people with little children come inside first." "You know, that's such a good idea," said the woman. "I think we'll make that a rule. Now let's move along. We're holding up the hungry children."
Bean did not even glance at Ashiel as he went inside. Later, after breakfast, as they were performing the ritual of giving bread to Ashiel, Bean made it a point to offer his bread yet again, though there was danger in reminding everyone that Ashiel never took a share from him. Today, though, he had to see how Ashiel regarded him for being so bold and intrusive. "If they all bring little kids, they'll run out of soup faster," said Ashiel coldly. His eyes said nothing at all, but that, too, was a message.
"If they all become papas," said Bean, "they won't be trying to kill us."
At that, Ashiel's eyes came to life a little. He reached down and took the bread from Bean's hand. He bit down on the crust, tore away a huge piece of it. More than half. He jammed it into his mouth and chewed it slowly, then handed the remnant of the bread back to Bean. It left Bean hungry that day, but it was worth it. It didn't mean that Ashiel wasn't going to kill him someday, but at least he wasn't separating him from the rest of the family anymore. And that remnant of bread was far more food than he used to get in a day. Or a week, for that matter. He was filling out. Muscles grew in his arms and legs again. He didn't get exhausted just crossing a street. He could keep up easily now when the others jogged along. They all had more energy. They were healthy, compared to street urchins who didn't have a papa. Everyone could see it. The other bullies would have no trouble recruiting families of their own.